Our next reader is Seattle poet Paul Nelson. Please welcome him.
In our workshop this morning, they put all the Nelsons in one corner, which is a very interesting dynamic. And me and one other Nelson collaborated on this line. And I'm thinking maybe you could put it on the sign. You know, welcome to Nanaimo, you can have this, because I think, got to the essence of this town. And this is the line that came up by chance without us seeing the whole thing. So it came up in an organic way. Nanaimo is like a toy red balloon freed from the spleen. maybe you put that on the sign. I'm not sure. It's your town, so you can decide. So my poem from the book is for Kurt Cobain. And as a tradition, every time I read it, Poems for Planet Earth, like I did in Victoria, I make sure I show my t-shirt. So I did it last time.
And have it on again. So there you go.
There you have it. The Hawks. Hawks and six. Okay. For Kurt Cobain, whose house, the house that he spent his final moments, is on my path home on Lake Washington Boulevard. And this is written in Aberdeen at his official memorial. For Kurt Cobain. Was it a typical July Aberdeen day? The sun, glasses off, on, off, or find our way up 101 to the bridge, the muddy Huishkaw, stinking water, and me from the city of stinking onions, and you souring the tide twice a day with your drugs will F dash 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 you up and your bacterial infection. Kurt, did you do it? Kurt, why Madrona? Kurt, where are the torn down walls with blood on them? Kurt, we try to challenge the corruption in ourselves and seek the serenity of mud like you did the Wishka and like we do in Aberdeen July, waiting for the tide to shift, trying like Nirvana not to be the last man who sold the world. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul Nelson, and thank you for coming up to read. Our next reader is Marianne Moore. Please welcome her.
Thank you, Yvonne, and thank you, Ursula, for publishing Poems from Planet Earth, but also the concept of writing couplets on the backs of labels. I've got that in my poem. It's called His Own Table. While staying in Towles, Narada Lane, hills of sagebrush, magpies in the yard, I wrote couplets on the backs of labels, mailed them to my father. The hunters from the north and the farmers from the south met to live together in the Pueblo. My father has saved the silver service from the Ontario and Nipissing Railway, the teapot and the pockmarked tray. They create an altar at the end of his table. Prayers of silver, prayers made with hands. Wild sage, juniper berries, and Indian paintbrush. A prayer bundle tied with yarn. We spread the couplets on the table, arrange a story we can live with. He has carved out a space for himself, his plate, his knife, and his fork. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne Moore. Our next reader is Leah Fowler, and she's going to read the poem in the book by Mayra Cook. Please welcome Leah.
Sleepwalking by Mayra Cook. Sleepwalkers, unite. Stumbling about with your eyes burning slow holes in the inside of your minds for words in the shape of birds to flap through. And your great ropes of keys swinging from your necks. So many keys, which in this good city can be exchanged for goods and services, even food, even love. Well, keys, you know, are hard and cold and stick to the tongue on winter's nights. They are the iron syllables that open the locked rooms of the past. Sleepwalkers, if you shuffle about long enough, are you bound to come out at last to a familiar place, a place you've lived before, a street name that opens tiny locks all over the skin? Knock twice and ask for him, that young boy who comes to the door of Macmillan Avenue and stands there in his striped pajamas, rubbing the birds out of his eyes. Sleepwalking by Mayra Cook.
Thank you, Leah. That was Mayra Cook's poem. Our next reader is Kim Clark, reading a poem by Carolyn Smart. Please welcome Kim.
Great, I think. Okay. If Jesse James is the poem by Carolyn Smart, and this is a really cool honor to read this poem. If he wrote letters to the press, then I did too. If he took mad chances, you bet I did. If he gave $2 to a man so he could drink the health of Jesse James, I would do the very same. I would do. Never mind the death of the conductor. Never mind the shooting of the innocent. I have done that too. I have felt the same as he. If he moved in lawless circles with his brother, Buck and I will call ourselves a gang. If the Pinkertons hurt his mother, this will be the grievous truth. The laws will do the same most anywhere. I will write about it too, if he did. If he used the name of Mr. Howard, then that will be my name. If he had bad times in Northfield, in Gallatin, or when he was an army man and wild, I could talk to him of courage and the ride. If his mother sold the pebbles from his grave, mine could do the same. If his killer was a coward, maybe mine will be one too. I will not look back nor turn to face the fire, for fame lasts longer than the breath of the reviled. If Jesse James by Carolyn Smart.
Thank you, Kim. Our next reader is Pat Smeckle. Please welcome her.
Thanks, Yvonne. Luis Alberto Ursúa Iribarren chose to be the last of the Chilean miners to be rescued after 69 days underground in October 2010. I'm sure you remember that. They were brought up one by one in a very narrow capsule. It took a long time to come up from so many feet down. The last to be brought up was Luis. So my poem is called, He Chose to Be Last. He was a foreman, and he chose to be last after 69 days. Last man. On the way up, Luis Alberto thinks about soap and water's warm course over face, back, belly, the black stink draining away. Louise thinks about his home, his place at table, his esposa's hands folded to grace cerveja, asado, and steaming batatas. Louise thinks about tonight, a different kind of dark, pillowed in stars, clean white sheets, her voice a low whisper, skin like linen. Luis Alberto doesn't think about hard hat, headlamp, steel-toed boots. Luis doesn't think about going down again.
Thank you, Pat. And our last reader in the first set is Kim Goldberg. Please welcome her.
Hi, everybody. The poem that I have in this fantastic collection, which I'm very proud to be included in, is called Urban Planning, and it's also in my Red Zone collection of poetry about homelessness in downtown Nanaimo. So the various places referenced in the poem are really just a few blocks, a couple of blocks away from where we're standing right now, standing and sitting. So, urban planning. Train tracks scrape past the sun-hammered miners' shacks left over from the last century. The front side is tarted up as the historic old quarter, but the backside holds the story. Just ask the crumbling sunflower sentries guarding the ass end of the women's center, or the weather-stripped shiplap on the bride's closet next door, luffing like a beaten flag, while some gunk the color of old blood drips from a rusty pipe. I know this stuff because I'm now at a sufficiently advanced stage in my daily rail walking to support a head-up gaze at my surroundings without tumbling into the thorns. Beyond the bridal store, the Shaling Occidental Hotel and Bar prevails like an asylum for the criminally insane, while across the tracks, a torn quilt pocked with bodily stains lies splayed on a weedy patch behind the thrift shop. A cardboard box nightstand totters beside. She will sleep here again tonight, unless chance finds her at the cop shop on the corner, or perhaps in the bed of someone she meets in the oxy. And if he's not too bad, maybe they'll get hitched and pay a visit to the bride's closet. Yeah, I don't think that's too likely. That's probably where her problem started. It's all so cyclotronic. He'll probably keep spending his nights at the oxy, coming home mean, talking fist speak, till she ducks out, goes to the women's center, which will be closed due to funding cuts. So she'll do some dumpster diving in the donation box outside the thrift shop until she finds another quilt and a spot to lie. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim Goldberg. So we're going to take a 10-minute break. You can take a look at books. Poems from Planet Earth are selling for $20, but with a purchase of the book, you get a free copy of Mocambo Nights. So just in case you don't know the history, Planet Earth poetry was originally called Mocambo Po when it was at a coffee house in downtown Victoria called Mocambo. And I think in 2001, Patrick Lane edited the first anthology that came out of this reading series, which is called Mocambo Night. So I'm giving copies of that away with purchases of poems from Planet Earth. So a short minute break, you can get something to drink and chat and purchase books. Thank you, everyone.